Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number. 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we give them to you. Praise be to God. So for those of you that follow us, you know how we do this once again. Before we go into the lesson, we pray. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, this is what we do. We always give invitation to the Lord and His Spirit to be with us. Amen. As we take this journey once again into this study tonight. So wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me? Let us petition the Lord together that He may bless us by His Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, this day we are grateful for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. We're grateful, Lord God, that you are the true and living God and that you keep your promises. We're grateful, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost that you give to those who receive you. And therefore, Lord, we pray today that you would just bless us with the presence of your Spirit and that your Spirit will release unto us the light we need. So, Lord, therefore, we thank you, Lord God, humbly petition you and acknowledge that you are the all-wise one and that there is none greater than thee. So, Lord God, this day and forever, we will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. I thank God for this day. We are dealing with the Jehovah's Witness, the Atonement, Part 2 tonight. Amen. I thank God for this, once again, this golden opportunity. You know, I know I've done past series when Satan doesn't want me to do it. He brings up big-time distractions. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost that is within me, that strengthens me to press on the extra mile. And therefore, I am grateful today for this opportunity to come with part two. Amen. Because the enemy did not want me to do this. Because he tried to throw some hindrance today, and it's not only been today, it's been even days before, okay, whenever I'm doing this broadcast, and especially dealing with these particular subjects. So I want to thank God for all of the praying saints who've been praying for me as I've been coming, you know, going into these subjects and bringing the Word of God. Amen. And may the Lord continue to bless you, your loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we talked about the atonement in part one, Jehovah's Witness to Atonement. We was talking about and looking at, you know, what the Jehovah's Witness teach and believe concerning the atonement. Now, I had given to you what they teach and believe, and then I came from the Word of God with you on that. So we're going to continue on that tonight on part two, and hopefully we may get wrap this up tonight, amen, on this part. Now, as I told you before and gave to you before, to sum it up, and for those of you, you know, your first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to listen to part one, because many times when you come in the middle or the end of a teaching, you know, many times it'd be kind of confusing, and you don't understand why certain things being said. So if you start from the beginning, then you can get a better understanding. But I thank God for you tonight listening. And so what we come to understand that the Jehovah's Witness, they, concerning the atonement of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, they believe, one of the things they believe, that Christ actually atoned for the sin, for Adam, okay? And that by good works and character on the behalf of others would pave the way for you to be, you know, saved. And that the atonement of Christ, his shedded blood, was only for Adam. Okay? Hallelujah. And they also believe that Christ came to redeem what they call a perfect life. Okay? And as they say, nothing more, nothing less in their other books. And so what we have been looking at was what the Word of God actually had to say on this subject. Now, we come to understand that from the Old Testament, God allowed the sacrifice of the blood of the bulls and goats to atone for the souls of men, souls of his people there. But only thing that blood could do was cover it. Okay? It did not have the power to take away sin. Shedding of that animal's blood only purified the flesh. Okay? When we looked in the Word of God on that, and we come to understand that the blood of Jesus was much, much greater and more, and had the power to cleanse us within. Because the greatest reconciliation, because that's another meaning of the atonement, it's also dealing with reconciling, supply satisfaction for. And so the greatest of the reconciling had to be from within. There had to be the cleansing by the blood from within, the shedding of the blood from within. Amen? Glory to God. And so now we're going to continue on. And the last thing we was talking about was how that, once again, the shedding of the blood of the animals was only for the purifying of the flesh. And we come to understand from the original Greek word there, for the word flesh there, that it, the flesh in the scripture here, seen in Hebrews chapter 9, symbolizes that which is external, okay? But see, the greatest of the thing needed is internal. And that's why in the same night chapter, it said that Jesus purged our conscience. Now, notice that in the scriptures that we went over yesterday about what Jesus did and what was needed, because the men's sins need to be, men need a atonement done. Notice it wasn't just for Adam, okay? It was for man, and therefore for all men, an atonement was needed. A shedding of the blood was needed, amen? So Jesus' sacrifice, not the animals, his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, the atonement, okay? The atoning, okay? Hallelujah, was to take away sin, not cover it. Let me show you even more what I mean. Let's go to John chapter 1. We're going to go in some scriptures tonight. John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 29. Now, when John, this was baptizing the people, amen, when John was baptizing them, as they confess and repented, all of a sudden Jesus walks up, okay? And when Jesus comes up, and we go to verse 29, the Bible said the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and say, now notice how John introduces him, okay? He said, behold the Lamb of God. Now you know that they used the animals in the Old Testament, the bulls, the goats, and the lamb, atone for man's sin, but remember, it only could cover it. And the purpose of that, we saw in Hebrews 10 and 1, was that that was done because it was a shadow of the things to come. It was like showing the representation of the actual thing that was needed and that was going to be done for all mankind. So here in verse 29, the Word of God said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away, okay? Take away, not cover. Take away what? The sin of who? Of the world. Not of Adam. Not of just Adam. Okay? Of the world. That's all the inhabitants on this earth, okay? Do you get that? It wasn't because, like I said, the Jehovah's Witness talking about where he only atoned for Adam's. No, he atoned for all men. For all men. Even before he did it. Look how, once again, look how John introduced him. Behold, the Lamb of God to take away, not to cover, to take away. See, we didn't need a covering of the sin. We needed a total removal. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can cover some things, but it'll still be there. A total removal takes it away from there. And see, that's what we needed. We needed a total removal. And see, that was something that the blood of the bulls and goats and lambs could not do. Okay, it could not take away sin. It could not totally remove it. Only the shedded blood of Jesus Christ could do that. And he did it for all. Take away the sin of the world. Not just of Adam. Amen? So once again, the Jehovah's Witness missed it on that. Okay? Amen. They missed it on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. They missed it on that right there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified, people. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we're looking at the power of the blood of Jesus, the atonement, how much power it has. See, it is, once again, it wasn't just for Adam, it was for all men. And it carries so much power, the blood of the animals and could not carry, could not possess. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you get that? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. Okay? That's how much power. See, when Christ's blood was shed, it wasn't just an average joke. Okay? Wasn't just anything, just blood being shed. No, it was more than that. This is why I said in yesterday's broadcast that many have taken the sacrament, you know, many have taken it in ignorance. Many have taken it simply not, you know, caring about discerning the truth about the symbolism or the meaning of the bread and the wine, okay? Amen. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses who? Us. Once again, it is said the blood of Jesus cleansed Adam from all sin, but cleansed us. He atoned for everybody's sin. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to our sheep, the glory. Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God for the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, okay? Let's look at verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. The word of God says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us. Not just Adam, once again. He washed us. He atoned for us. By his blood, he washed us, our sins away. Okay? He washed it in his blood. Once again, not just for Adam. Okay? I see the Jehovah's Witnesses teaching that you get saved by good character and good works. No. No. His blood atoned for us. His blood cleansed us. Amen. We're grateful for the blood. Thank God for the blood and the power behind it. See, it wasn't just blood that was shed, but it was blood that had power. Glory. Ooh, glory to God. Aren't you glad, Christian, if you that's listening, if you're a Christian, aren't you glad to be serving someone that has the power or someone who is all-powerful, okay? Not just have the power, but is all-powerful, okay? Someone that can make the devil behave and make the devil do backflips and roll on the ground, make the devil just back off, okay? But his blood cleansed us. His blood atoned for us, not just for Adam. See, don't let nobody fool you and make you think, oh, Jesus' blood was shed just for Adam. Don't let nobody fool you like that. Amen? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 5 that death passed upon all men, not just upon Adam. You understand that? See, we all needed, mankind needed a cleansing, needed a deliverance, needed atoning, okay? Not just Adam, okay? Why would Christ just shed his blood for Adam? That would be saying Adam was the only one that needed atoning. But no, all mankind, because what Adam did opened a door for all mankind to be affected. We were born into what is called the sin nature. So we all needed an atoning. We needed someone to atone for our sin because we couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't shed our own blood or somebody else in our family or something like that, a good friend, associate, could not shed the blood to atone for our sin. We couldn't go get an animal and kill him and cut his throat and let his blood be for our sin. We couldn't do it. It couldn't take it away. But Christ could, his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm giving you scriptures here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Watch what the Word of God says. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, not for just Adam. Once again, for all. To be testified in due time. Now that word ransom in original Greek means a redemption price. He gave himself a redemption price. He paid the price by the shedding of his blood for who? For mankind. That mankind would be delivered and set free. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to read a few scriptures from what is called the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Elijah, resurrected John the Baptist, as Jesus promised to send him in these last days. Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4. I want to read to you the message that Jesus sent through him to give to his people. Amen. And pertaining to this subject here that we're on. Amen. And I pray that, first of all, that you would give me your undivided attention. Number two, ask the Lord about what I'm reading to you, okay? And what is called message 115, which is the 115th time at that time that Christ sent the Elijah. And Elijah spoke the words that Christ had him to speak, and this is what was said. It said, it is through and in the atoning blood of Christ that mankind is saved. Do you hear that? It ain't through the works. Okay? He said that mankind is saved. Okay? He didn't mention just Adam. He didn't mention Adam. He mentioned mankind. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. And another message he sent that is called message 87. Amen. And then message 87. This is what he said, the message that he sent. Glory to God. He said, let repentance and faith be taught and remission of sin through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Remember in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it said, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. So when Jesus sent his angel, the Elijah, to tell us that we need to teach repentance and faith, and the remission of sin through the atoning blood, he didn't switch over from what he had given unto Paul to tell us in the scriptures of the Bible. Okay? So there was no flip-flop in that. Okay? It's through the atoning blood of Christ that we receive remission. Remission, one sense, means forgiveness. In another sense, it means total removal of the sin. Okay? Twofold meaning of remission. And so that's what the power of the blood and the sacrifice of Christ did. It provided forgiveness and the total removal of the sin. You understand that? That's why the Bible said, Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, had come to take away the sin. See, we needed a sin removal. We didn't need a covering. Okay? If we would have got a covering, that means it was still there. We need a removal. If we just got a covering, then Satan would have had a right to say, hey, I got a right to them because that sin is still there. Amen. We needed a removal. Thank God for the shedded blood of Jesus Christ that the removal. Now, another message called the 81st message. Message 81. Thank you, Jesus. Hashata Bokoshi. Glory. Message 81. This is what the Lord says here in sending the Elijah. He said, when the saints gather for their prayers and humbly seeking the Lord in their communion, the Lord's Supper or sacrament, let them partake the bread and emblem of the Lord's body, the wine of fermented grape juice from the fruit of the vine, emblem of the blood of the Lamb of God, spilled for, get this, all mankind, that the sins of the truly repentant that look to him may be forgiven and have life and find it more abundantly. Do you hear that? Okay? His blood was spilled for all, not just for Adam. For all. Hallelujah. Not just Adam, for all. We need it. We needed an atonement. We needed a reconciliation. Okay? And it was through his blood that we became reconciled back to God the Father. When we received Jesus Christ as Lord, the power of the blood became activated in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And especially on this part here concerning the atonement, because yesterday as I did it on the broadcast, I was sensing the Spirit of the Lord on me strongly then, okay? I was sensing him on me strongly. Thank God for it, you know. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want to come with, I don't know, two or three more scriptures. And on this part, I want to deal with, I also told you that they believe that Christ came to redeem a perfect human life. Man needed redeeming, okay? Man needed redeeming. He come redeem a perfect human life. Man needed the redemption. He needed to be redeemed. Okay? Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. Amen? Let's look at verse 13. Because Jehovah's Witness, because remember, and for those of you who have been listening to the series, you know, if you're listening to it completely, I'm talking about even the other parts that I've done, you know that I've reported to you that, see, the Jehovah's Witness, they believe in two things, or the two things being one, logic and reasoning. If it ain't logic to them, they disregard it, okay? Not something, this is the reason why, one of the reasons why you don't hear the Jehovah's Witness talking about the Holy Ghost giving revelation to them. Because they believe in logic. It got to be, as they say, easy to the mind. Okay? Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 said, Christ have redeemed who? Us. Not just Adam. Once again. Have redeemed. That means he have delivered. Bought us with a price. Brought us back. Okay? Remember, 1 Timothy 2:5 said he gave himself a ransom. He gave himself a redemptive price. He redeemed us from something. Didn't say he redeemed a perfect human life. He redeemed us from something. What? From the curse of the law being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. See, Christ, in his redemptive plan, in the shedding of his blood and atoning for us, he came to deliver us from not just the law. This verse says the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this curse of the law. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, it's a lot of verses, so I'm not going to read all these verses, but I want to give you a sum up of what this is dealing with. We're told in Galatians 3:13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not just from the law, but from the curse of it. Okay? Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, and the word of God said, but it shall come to pass, if thou would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, that all these curses, now some of them, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, I'm going to stop there. The curse of the law was threefold: death, sickness, and poverty. So when you broke the command of God, you was open for those curses to overtake you. You understand what I'm saying? Adam sinned and opened up the door where we was born into the sin nature. Those curses, because of the sin nature we were born into, had a right to us. Notice it said here that anyone that would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, these curses would not just get this, not just come upon thee, but overtake thee. Okay? Hallelujah. You know, like you see, you ever seen two men in a wrestling match, and one just overtake the other, just take them down? Well, that's what he's saying. See, these curses, when you sin, these curses had a legal right to you. The curse of spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Now, I named death first because it's the greatest of the three, because that death is divided into two things, two main things you need to be concerned with. When Adam sinned and opened up the door for death, one death is called physical death. That's what you see, that everybody is, you know, people that die, you see the body in the casket, that's physical death. Physical death is where the spirit and the soul is separated from the body. But then it brought a greater death, which is called spiritual death, according to Ephesians chapter 2. That's when your spirit, you are separated from God. You are spiritually dead. Okay? Amen. You're spiritually dead. And so, therefore, Christ, by him giving himself as a redemptive price to pay the price for us, okay? Therefore, he delivered us from the curse of the law. Whenever we receive him, then it becomes automatically active in our lives, that we don't have to walk in spiritual death, that we don't have to be sick, that we don't have to be poor and broke and begging. Amen. And then the physical death, the Bible said that's the last enemy that's going to be put on the foot. So the day going to come, there will be no more physical death. Okay? Amen. But thank God for what he did for us. Amen. The halo, shut the glory. Even Genesis 2:17. Remember, in Genesis chapter 2, when God told Adam, he said, you can eat all these trees except this tree right here, knowledge of good and evil. He said, the day that you eat, you shall die. But see, that was a curse right there. And so we know what Adam did. And so therefore he became cursed. What? With death. He took on the same nature of the enemy. Satan is spiritually dead forever. There is no hope. There is no hope. You cannot raise no petition or nothing for him. It is over for him. And so when Adam sinned, he took on the nature of the enemy. And Christ, and so everyone that was born into this world, we was born into the sin nature. So Christ came to redeem us or deliver us from that. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at another scripture on that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at And what Paul's going to tell us in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. The word of God said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, which is Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." See, came to deliver from death, came to deliver from the devil. See, Satan had a legal right. See, this is one of the things that we don't hardly talk about too much in church service, okay? Because, see, you got people throwing up this notion that everybody on earth is a child of God. No, everybody on earth is not a child of God. If you're not born again and you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. Now, I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, because when you say something like that, sometimes people get, "Oh, what you say?" And some of them will laugh and say, "Look at you bragging on yourself." No, I'm not bragging on myself. Because at one time, I wasn't saved either, so I was a child of the enemy. Why? Because once again, it goes back to Adam. Adam took on the nature of the enemy, and we all was born into the sin nature, okay? Amen. So Christ, when he came to redeem us and atone for us, he put his nature into those that are born again, because remember, all what Christ done, his atonement, all that for us, for it to be totally active in our lives, we got to receive him as Lord. You got too many people, sinners especially, and some of them have really been misled by many in the ministry. Just walking around talking about how Jesus died for their sins, and that's true, he did. But they just talking. They're not accepting them. And some of the ministers, I tell them, say, "Hey, in order for that to be activated in your life, you got to accept him as Lord." See, Jesus already did his part. Now you got to do your part to make the transaction complete. Because remember, Jesus is not going to force salvation on anybody. Oh, yeah, he's not going to force salvation on you. Tell his servants when they go out and preach the gospel, he told the priest, repentance, preach the gospel. Then he tell you to cast not your pearl before swine. So if you're trying to tell somebody the gospel and they don't want to hear it, Jesus said, "Hey, don't force it on them. Shake out the dust of your feet and go on." Okay? Sometimes you have some among the body of Christ who try to force it on people, and they thinking they're right. But I want to let them know that God said you're wrong. God is not going to side with you. If you get up there, and he should have heard of God, and shouldn't he, God? When God taught God to tell you, said, you ain't supposed to force it on him. Because remember, Jesus himself is a gentleman. Okay? He's a gentleman. He's not forcing salvation down your throat. He did not force salvation down my throat. You got to freely accept him. Do you get what I'm saying? Freely accept him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, to the Jehovah Witness, okay, Christ didn't just redeem Adam. His blood was not just atoned for Adam's sin, but for all of us, okay? We all need it. It wasn't just Adam needing it. We all need it, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. If he wouldn't atone for our sin, we'd still be in our sin. We'd be headed straight to hell, period. But mankind was going down the wrong road. Once again, once we took on the sin nature, started going down the wrong road. Well, you can say amen, oh me, or anyhow, whatever you want to say. But that's the truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for his word. Once again, I just want to reiterate, for those of you who maybe just coming on, and you're hearing me talk concerning the Jehovah Witness, some of you may be thinking, you know, you wrong. You just jumping down their case. You know, you shouldn't be doing it. Blah, blah. Listen, the Lord said, "Cry aloud, spare not." And God doesn't want his people deceived. Okay? You don't want his people to see. And he's calling for his people to cry aloud, spare not. And one of the trouble with some believers is that we're too scared. Scared of offending somebody. We're too scared of being abandoned by people. You know what I mean? In other words, when you preaching the word of truth or telling the word of truth, you know, people are going to have a tendency to not want to be around you. You know, before that, they would pat you on the back, call you great, good buddy, and all that, and invite you over to the house, and, amen, cooking dinners for you and all that stuff. But then when you start really teaching and preaching the truth of the gospel, all of a sudden the phone calls stop coming. When they see you on the street, they may wave and keep going. Amen. And then eventually it comes down to the point one day that they tell you, say, hey, you know, one of the famous things that many of them like to use, say, hey, you done changed. Oh, I used to hear that, okay? And see, sometimes when people make that statement to you, they don't always mean good. So you hear that statement and say, well, you didn't change. You ain't the same no more, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, this is the day of decision. And it's decision-making time. Now, some of you, and once again, not trying to be funny as I say this, you have tried to play the role of, and you've been doing it for a while, God has seen you do it, but guess what? Now comes the day for you to make your decision. You actually thought you could get away with it because it seemed like you had for so long, you know, because you want the people to keep liking you, okay? And you know how they have reacted to other things that was spoken to them by other people concerning the word of God, and now you're afraid to say anything because you're afraid of losing their friendship. And so you may ask, well, Brother Nate, is that going to happen? I tell you, the greatest chances of it is yes. But who's more important is what I ask you, okay? Hallelujah, who's more important, you know? And just like today, somehow I forgot, it was me and two guys, and the subject come up about abortion. And one of the guys, you know, and those of you who have been listening to me on Blog Talk Radio, you knew I did a series on abortion. And really, he was talking, well, I believe the women got the right, blah, 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 stuff like that. I said, well, and we created, and, you know, all that. And so I had to tell him the truth on that matter. And I wasn't telling him the truth, trying to hurt him or something like that, but I had to stand, okay? Because I have some brothers and sisters in Christ who believe that abortion is okay. You know, we have to stand on the very word of truth. Glory to God. And even concerning the Jehovah's Witness that I've been talking about, because, see, you know, I give them credit. They go house to house, okay? They got us in Christianity whoop on that part. But when you go in house to house and you're spreading doctrines of darkness, I don't care if you went house to house every day. Okay, if you're spreading darkness, that's not good. I don't care if you've been going every day. And so God is looking for a people that will raise up and cry out against these things. But it's sad to say, over the period of years, the voice of the church crying out has become more and more declined. You have a few that's speaking out, speaking up, you know. But a great portion of them among the body of Christ have taken on the silent role, and they won't speak up. They won't say anything, okay? And when you sit back and examine, you can see different reasons why they don't. You know, many times, like I said, some of them are people persons, and I just say this to you. The first thing you got to remember is that the greatest comfort you're going to receive is that from Jesus. That's the number one thing you got to remember, okay? Because if you're the type of person that just got to have people around you, now, don't get me wrong, don't be saying, well, Brother Nate speaking against you having people. No, I ain't saying it. But there are some people who just got to have people around. They can't walk no period or be alone for no period, you know. Amen. It's just like some men I knew from the past. You know, as soon as they wife passed, man, it ain't even a year. I don't even know, was it even 6 months before they already jumped in and married somebody else. And people be like, oh, man, his wife just died a few months ago and he already got married. Because Some of them can't take even being alone for even a short period of time. I say that to say this. If you're a people person, you got to always have people, you know. You can't take a time where you may have to stand alone. You're going to compromise the word of God. Amen. Now, some of you say, okay, brother, then you had to go there. Well, I had to, because that's the truth. You're going to compromise the word, because when you see that it's going to come to that point, if you say to yourself, if I tell them this, that Jesus said this is wrong, and I know how they are, how they react, and how they strong for this, man, they're going to quit associating with me. So then you're going to be thinking of that, replaying it over and over to yourself, and then you're going to get to a point where you'll start saying, well, you know, the Lord loves you. Everything's okay. No, it's not okay. Sin is sin, abomination, abomination, point blank, period. Okay? No bones about it. Hallelujah. No bones about it. And so, therefore, that's why I am grateful to the Lord for this day that he has made. And I'm grateful to the Lord for this golden opportunity to share the word of God with you. And see, when I come and speak on these subjects, just like I'm speaking on these, with giving it this religion, I want to inform people and give them the word of truth, okay? You know, not just be sitting up there just, you know, me, you know, saying something. I want to inform them, because there are many people out there who is honest. And Satan has misled them. You know, ain't no doubt in my mind, there are many honest people in the Jehovah's Witness group. That's why I believe that God is going to deliver many of them out of that. Because what? The honesty of their heart. Because some of them honestly think this is right. They've been misled. They've been deceived. And because of the honesty of their heart, God is going to open that light to them, and they're going to see the truth, and they're going to come out of this thing. They're going to be like, no, 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 this is wrong. Some of you listening now, maybe you're a Jehovah's Witness, and at the meetings, you start noticing you becoming more uncomfortable, because you be like, something just ain't right about what they teaching, what they saying. It just ain't registered with me right, you know. And many times, that's God giving you the signal like, hey, this ain't right. Amen. Now, I love the Jehovah's Witness with the love of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to preach a message of hate, but their doctrines are in darkness. And some of them I grew up with. I grew up along, you know, in time, you know, when I was growing up, played basketball, dancing with some of them. Nice people, nice guys, you know. A couple of Jehovah's Witness girls. With most of them, I knew the guys because we played ball, you know. But yet still, you know, nice people. But the doctrine is in darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's been a blessed night. Like I said, when I first came on, Satan threw these hindering blocks in front of me. And it wasn't just today. It's been days before, even days prior to this day, where he was trying to get me aggravated. He was working on aggravating me. And I remember I told my wife, I said, let us pray. Because I can see that the devil has been using a couple of these things to try to aggravate me, you know. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for his spirit causes us to press through, you know. I'm just awaiting the manifold blessing that God promised for in my life. There's some things that I've asked God for that I've been waiting for the manifestation. I believe him in the name of Jesus. And Satan just been, you know, trying to hinder. But see, I know that these subjects that I'm reporting on, he really hates them, because these are subjects where he has strongholds on people, okay, through this. Just like when I did the Masonic, the Illuminati, there's fraternities and sororities. Oh, man, these things, he has a strongholds over people. I mean, especially over some who would claim to be in the body of Christ. He's had a stronghold. So here, and not just me, it go for any of you. If you start preaching and teaching the truth, these strongholds, then the devil going to come strong at you. Now, I'm not trying to praise the devil. I'm just telling you that he's not going to lay down because you're preaching against these things. In fact, he's going to rise up even more because, see, you're causing a problem for him. Because somebody that's in this stronghold may hear this and get delivered. Amen. Glory to God. So we're grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for another day. Blessing of the Lord. Thank God for it. Amen. Glory to God. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this broadcast tonight. And though we have come to the end of the broadcast, it is not the end of your word. Lord God, everyone that was listening tonight that has been seeking you, I pray, Lord God, that you will manifest yourself unto them, that they may find you. And Lord, bless their families. And Lord, just show an extension of your grace. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the keeper of your word and your promises and telling us that it will not return unto you void. In Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank God for the word. Thank God for his spirit. Lord, say the same tomorrow night, heart to heart with Brother Lee and the handmaidens, and I will be joining them. Look for the advertisement then, and as well as Saturday. Praise be to God. So, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.